So did you? So whilst we started, you just pressed hang up, did you?
No, I just touched. I'm on a laptop, and it's quite touch sensitive, and I just touched the wrong button.
No, laptops haven't been around for long, so I can understand you're not. I know, sure
it's
technology.
It's all new to me. I'm just used to a keyboard. Just give me a keyboard. Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Bottom, my friend, round 8 of the men, round 3 of the women. In the bag, talk to me.
Yeah, that was a terrific round. There's just so much to talk about, actually. There were so many good games and a couple of surprise results across, you know, the Tasman as well, and over here with Southside in the women, one of the absolute championship favourites, getting beaten by Adelaide Lightning.
Adelaide.
Held to 56 points. This is a team with a potency of... Hey?
Didn't you pick that?
I don't think I picked that last week. I don't think I did. I think I went for an upset. But
even if you did, let's say you didn't anyway. Okay.
But, you know, like Southside with the potency that it has, you know, the Beck Cole, Maddie Rocci, you know, the Mercedes Russell, yeah, Lauren Jackson, Carly Ernst, you know, it just goes on and on. Nadia Poch, you know, they're just to be held to 56 points is an outstanding effort by Adelaide Lightning. And then, of course, we had Illawarra Hawks who sacked their coach, Jacob Jacamas, after our last broadcast.
Yes.
And they go across the Tasman and beat New Zealand.
Well, couldn't agree more. Let's talk WNBL first, all right? Okay. So let's go through this. So we'll talk about what wasn't a shock, but probably closer than I thought, Flames beating the Capitals. I actually watched that game and I thought the Flames did enough to win, but, geez, the Capitals were in it.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a really good thing, because I picked the Capitals to lose both games and they did. I mean, that wasn't any kind of Rhodes Scholar decision, because they just don't have the personnel, but they do have the attitude and the application. They go for it, you know, and they're going to get wins because of that. And I was really impressed with the fact they pushed Sydney and the fact that they had a pretty good result up in Townsville too. I mean, obviously they'd be coming home thinking, well, we lost two games. It was a crappy week. Can, but no, they really got.
Yeah, they showed. They showed they were there. So Jake Melbourne had 31, Alex Sharp 16, Monica Oki. I hope I'm saying that okay. 17 points, but they were good.
You're not saying that okay. Just so you know, it's Okoye. But okay, but yeah.
I thought you were doing a pun then. 16 and 13 for Alex Sharp too in that game. I thought Diddy Richards for the Flames 18 and 10. But really, Lauren Nicholson's leading this team at the moment. On and off the court, from what I know, but on the court she's playing really well. 25 points, so good win there. So let's move to the next game. Perth beating Bendigo. I don't think that was a shock. We expected that.
I tell you, I think the Perth has been a bit of a surprise, and I'm interested to see how they go when they travel. It's one thing to win at home. It's another thing to win on the road, which is why I liked Melbourne, because their first three wins were all on the road.
Yes, good
point. And then now they come up against Bendigo in the last game of the round, and Bendigo insert Kelsey Griffin, who's a superstar of our league and has been a multiple championship winner at Bendigo and Canberra. And, 15-point first quarter. Now you're inspired as a team. Like, you've come off a loss in Perth and you're not feeling great about yourself, but you insert that superstar, and what a change it was in that team. I mean, they had that game. They were up 17, 19 points. They did. Were looking like they
what
were
did you? What did you like about Perth?
Oh, pretty much Ari McDonald, 34 points. She's a star in our league. And, they're travelling along very, very nicely. You know yourself, Brad, you've got to bank early wins. And if you can bank a bunch of early wins when you have that moment in the season where you slump or you run and, you know, whatever.
You just need.
You've got some already in the bank, so you're okay.
Annalie Maley will only get better there as well. You know, I mean, it's a big loss when you lose certain players, and I just thought, you know, they were pretty good. So, but like you said, not a shock. It was good. We spoke about Adelaide beating Southside, Townsville
Izzy Borlase, 25 points. You know, on a day where you keep the other team to 56, someone gets 25, and the other team.
And not only keeping another team to 56, the Flyers as well, like you said. Yeah. So, and then Townsville, well, they just did enough, really.
Yes.
To get rid of the Capitals. Elise Kunick, 27 points. She was great. Sammy Whitcomb, 16 and 7. She was good. So,
I think the listeners to our pod should note that you have jumped off Southside. You got, you know, for seasons you've been on Southside. They've played three of the last four grand finals. You've been, the Flyers. They've got New South Wales colours. Yes. And now, where are they? You just brushed them off. Oh, they lost to Adelaide and just kept moving.
You do know what Sydney people are like, don't you? Right. So, can I also say
thanks for pointing?
We're also very sarcastic. And can I say this is the bloke that hung up on us when we were starting our pod? But hey, we don't need to go there. But
I remember
let's
I was
go,
doing it with you, Brad. That's why I hung up.
It wasn't an accident. Let's go to my favourite team, the Melbourne Boomers, who beat the Bendigo Spirit in, like you said, Bendigo backing up.
Yeah, but, you know, they were so much better, Bendigo, that you're going to have to watch them in the next few weeks. They're coming. They had a fantastic preseason. They played international games. They did all kinds of things. And they've been a little bit unlucky not to have Kelsey until this game, but she just showed her value. What was it, 33 points? She was outstanding. Yep. And it took almost, I think, it was the last quarter when Melbourne actually hit the front. So they had to scratch and claw and come from a long way back to, I think it was a 15-0 run from late in the third quarter to the fact that they hit the front. And then Kelsey put them back in front again late in the game. So, and yeah, it was
33 points, can I say, 19 shots at 63%.
Yes.
4 of 10 from the 3-point line. That's brilliant.
Yes, that's brilliant. Pretty good. She's got a rough idea.
Yeah, she seems to go all right, that one.
But then if you look on the other side, once again,
Jordan.
Yeah. Melbourne got a lot of value from all of its roster, but Jordan Canada stood out, close to a triple-double.
What's that other girl, Sarah? You seem to know her a little bit. Yeah,
Sarah
Blitzer. Right. Yeah,
hit a bunch of threes that were really important. Yeah. And then late, Keely Froling hit a couple of threes that were really important. Yeah. So and Amy Rocha.
Going against her sister, mind you, which was a good one. Alicia Froling was in the other team, Bendigo.
When they were guarding each other, that really was fun to watch. I mean, it probably wasn't for Mr. and Mrs. Froling.
Oh, they probably loved it. Knowing Shane, he would have loved it.
Thumper!
Punch someone!
Thumper!
It ain't a foul unless there's blood. All right, I'm going to ask you this. Play of the round, please.
For me, it was Jade Melbourne. I know she played in two losing games.
No.
31 points and 7 assists in one, 14 points and 15 assists in the other one. That's a weekend average of 22.5 points and 11 assists. I can't go past that as more than one game. She played two good games. So, that just edges out a couple of others who had outstanding single games, like Harry McDonald, like Kelsey Griffin, Alice Kunick.
I agree with you. And player of the round for me, I am going to go with Kelsey because I think Kelsey Griffin's to come out and have 33 points the way we've spoken about already. So I won't elaborate, but just first game back, brilliant. And I think she'll only get better on that. I'm not saying better that she's now going to score more than 33.
No. That's a career high. Comes back with a career high. So,
brilliant.
You know,
brilliant.
And there you go. That just shows that you don't have to be a winner on the day. Your team doesn't have to win for us to pick you as, to recognize your performance, let's put it that way.
Well, that's the wrap for the WNBL.
Hang on.
We're not
going to look at the next game? No, we're not, because we've got next week.
No games.
Move on, it's a bloody FIBA nonsensical.
Yeah, look, I mean, we spoke about this off air as well with FIBA. From memory, and I know they had this last year, is they would have had to deal with this like a year ago when they do FIBA, when they're doing the draw. Mm-hmm. So they would have put this draw in, not knowing if we're going to Olympics or, all those things. So I can understand how that happens. And look, whilst we want to watch it, and certainly, especially after this last round and the great games you're having, you just want it to keep going. But in one way, I don't mind. It gives the players a bit of time, freshen up, get back and, come back for that second, third of the season type thing. So anyway, let's talk.
I think for the benefit of the people who are confused as to the fact that there's no Boomers, because they're already qualified for the Olympics, but New Zealand. They're going to play qualifying.
Well, they have to, yeah.
And so you've got a couple of potential Tall Blacks right across the league. Yeah. It's not just in the Breakers.
Yeah, don't
team.
Forget, it's not just the Breakers, 100%.
You've got all over the place. Hiram Harris and Toey Smith-Milner. You start looking at the teams and you go, oh, wow, they're all over the place. So that's fair enough. Let's move on.
WNBL. So,
no, we haven't. Let's talk
NBL then. Okay, let's do that then.
Why not?
Happy Monday. Well, I'll tell you guys, we are just, anyway.
You didn't even work on the weekend. You didn't even have a game.
I tell you, my wife went away for the weekend, right? She went up to Byron to have a girls' weekend or whatever. Excellent. I tell you what, oh, man, my son did his MCL playing basketball.
Right.
My mother's son was needed to be dropped off at every – it seemed like he had 900 parties on this weekend, right? And I had to drop him and pick him off up to every one. And, oh, my goodness, picking up crutches and, what a weekend. But what was great was the NBL. All right. Yes. How good was the NBL? Well, I mean, these games were unbelievable. Was there a bad one? There was not a bad one. Let me just put it to you this way. The biggest margin won on the weekend, the biggest, was Melbourne versus Sydney.
Yeah, 1-2 and Sydney's 15 up in the, at halftime.
But that was the biggest win. Like, there was no 20-point wins. There was no 30-point wins. That was the biggest. Let's start with Tasmania at home against New Zealand. Yes, that was a shock to me.
A little bit of a surprise to me too. There was just a couple of teams, and Tasmania is one of them, can go through dry patches. Just offensively go through dry patches. They're still busting their hump defensively, but they just go through a dry patch where, you know, Jordan Crawford will drive and his shot will roll out instead of rolling in, you know.
Yeah.
And then and that happened to him. And, yeah, hats off to
It was the two middle quarters there. They 25-17 and 23-19 that really put the game on ice for New Zealand. Look, it was great to see Will Magnay back, can I say, for Tasmania, 20 points, and I thought he looked really good in that game. But to me, the guy that is carrying New Zealand at the moment is Anthony Lamb. I'm loving him. I watched him close up in Sydney. He's great. He's got all the moves, and he's the man, mate. He's really good.
I'm going to say it again because I know you haven't looked it up. He and Oscar Isaac and never in the same room at the same time. That's all I'm saying. And Oscar Isaac, he's been nominated for an Academy Award, Brad. You got to get out more, seriously. But look, you know, I thought Tasmania started that game really well. Milton Doyle started tremendously well. And you had Will Magnay on his way to 20 points and 13 rebounds.
13
and
boards,
blocking,
yeah.
And blocking four shots and changing others. He was a huge presence. And New Zealand, they're down Zillin Cheatham, and then they'd lose Will McDowell-White with a fractured fibula for 6 weeks in that game. So that was a really good performance, but I think that took a lot out of New Zealand and opened the door at the other end when Illawarra caught him in Auckland. I saw a lot of tired bodies in that game. Their decision-making, they made a lot of fatigue errors. I know people want to be critical and people want to sort of knock New Zealand as quickly as they can. I'm not in that camp. I think they've... You know, if you take out two starters like McDowell-White and Cheatham from any team, you know, your major Australian player and your top import, do that to any team and see how they're going to go in the second game.
Well, let's stay on this game. And with the second game, you've got Anthony Lamb had 20 points on 21 shots.
Yeah.
PJC had 20 points on 17 shots. And then the next most was like 9 and 7. Like, there's a big gap now.
Yeah.
And that's where the injuries are playing a role.
Yeah, right,
and that's what you're talking about. So that what I'm saying is the stats are proving what you're saying. But New Zealand, first quarter, they scored 12 points, 23 in the second, not bad, then 16 and 14. Yeah, that could be fatigue, mate.
I really think it was. And nobody stepped up. Cam Glidden came in. He had a bunch of threes. He contributed. But basically, they just didn't have enough offensive options, consistent offensive options. And Illawarra under Justin Tatum came at him with everybody. They threw everybody into the game. But, you know, usually I'm critical when you get lots of players in the game and I don't see the point. But if you're playing high intensity, full court, man-to-man, up in their faces for a big portion of the game, well, then that's when you do need to
Cut you off then. Yes, if you do that, right? And that's what you see, all these substitutions that people are making, and they're not doing that. If you're doing that, like, I've got to give it, that's the best I've seen Bawali Bales play in a while. He was up and in, and he looked like PJC wanted to punch him out, like, get over me. That's what you want. So now let's flick it to Illawarra and say, look, a win's a win. You know, that's what they've got to do. I thought you've got to give the coaching staff credit, right?
Yes.
They had to get there. As good or bad as New Zealand were, right, you still got to win it. And they won it, right? 69-65, not one of the biggest, purest games and stuff. But the only thing I have – thing I do struggle with a little bit is I'm just not sure where Justin Robinson's going here. I just don't know. Like, you know, another 27 points, six shots for 4 points.
So 27 minutes.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah. For okay. Six field goals for 4 points. Didn't take a three. Didn't take a free throw. Had one rebound for 4 assists. I feel for him. You know, and one of the probably things that we have forgot to mention, and we talk about it a lot, you know, he needs game time under his legs after having an ACL injury.
Yes.
But when you're in Port, you don't get that grace.
You don't get that luxury. No, you really don't. I'm sorry. Yeah. If they're going to go forward, I really like the guy. He seems like a genuinely decent
human being. Oh, he is. I know. Staying around the Hawkies, I can tell you now, they love him. They love him. Yeah.
But he's just not up to it at the minute. Mm. He's just not up to it. I'm sorry.
Well, good on the Illawarra Hawks for getting a win. Okay, let's go to game two. I did watch this as well. I like this one. Perth versus Cairns. That was a good win for Perth. They had to get. That's as simple as it is.
And that's sort of the first one where I'm starting to think, okay, maybe Perth has turned a corner. Because I know everybody's jumping on the Perth bandwagon. But, again, when you analyse and you go, okay, they beat Melbourne, but Melbourne lost three of their key players in less than a quarter. So and then they only won that in overtime. Mm. And you know, beating Adelaide over there, well, big deal. You know, a lot of teams are going to beat Adelaide. Yeah. So, I wasn't that dazzled. But then getting Cairns, okay. That's a bit better. That's a bit more impressive. Getting New Zealand played zone on him, which was just suicidal. So again, that one didn't dazzle me as much as getting Cairns with a full strength and then getting Brisbane coming from behind 10 down, beating Brisbane. Mm.
That was big. Yeah, that was big. Look, I mean, Bryce is doing Bryce things, but you know, he's still, you know, shooting 30% from the 3-point line for the season, which is the lowest in his career in Australia. Right. So that is, and he shot 2 of 9 in that game. So 22%. So but that's the way Cairns obviously came into the game. I think Pinder is just struggling. That's where they need to pick up something. But with Bryce, it's a matter of if Bryce is on, they win. If Bryce is off, they're going to lose, right? But give them credit. They're now on a 5-game winning streak. I did enjoy that Brisbane game. I thought that was great. I do like Hyrum Harris, what he's given him.
Yes. There was a lot of impatience in Perth about Christian Doolittle. Great deal of impatience.
He was good
I was on a Perth radio station. I said, listen, you know, you guys were after Jermaine Beal too, like 4 or 5 weeks into his career in the NBL. He ends up being a multiple championship player.
Didn't he have 40 in that final or something?
Yeah, off and give Doolittle a chance to find his feet and see. Let him settle into the league. If he can't perform when he settles in,
good call.
But game he was
two,
really good.
21 points off 9 shots, buddy.
Yeah, he was good.
He was brilliant. And 9 rebounds to go with that as well.
Yep.
Bad loss for Brisbane. They should have won that game. That's what it is.
They're starting to rack up these ones they should have won.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's where
the loss
Sydney
column keeps
was the
growing.
Week before. They should have won that. Their fourth quarters are really, really struggling. So, look, they're going to
You know what? I would pick up Justin Shure. I think he's been doing a very, very good job. But if you put the ball in Nathan Sobey's hands in the last 5 minutes to win you the game, you will not be winning the game. If you put the ball in somebody else's hands, Mitch Norton, to run alongside him, make the decisions, okay. But Nathan, you know, as great a player as he can be and is a lot of the time, end game, he scares me. He scares me.
Mm, yeah, it's a bit hit or miss, isn't it? Adelaide, 36ers. What about
How
this?
Good was that? Hey, how good was that?
What about this? Down by, what was it? 18 at half. And then come back 31-14 third quarter and then a 30-26 fourth quarter on the back of a DJ, 29 points. Of those threes. Whoa, what about the one on the runner at what it was, quarter time off the glass or whatever it was? Yeah. He was just on fire. Love what they're bringing. Credit where credit's due. They played well, mate.
Oh, they did. Jacob Wiley, he set a tone. Then
Love
in
him.
Came Trenton Flowers. He's setting. And when I say set a tone, there's an energy about him and an enthusiasm that was really fun to watch.
Good things happen when he's on the court. Yep. Can I just say, and I hate saying it though, Southeast Melbourne Magic. Sorry, Phoenix. I keep saying Magic, but Phoenix. That's all right. I said Denzel Washington. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, man. This just seems to be what they do. you know, like games they just should win. They just seem to – that's why I just don't know. That's, I just can't see them winning
this. No, I can't either. And look, it's a real question mark. When you're up by 18, you know, you probably should win by 30. Really?
Yeah, they don't put their foot on the neck, do they?
Yeah, they're not Mike that Kelly, I think he's got a bit to answer for because you know Ruben Tarangin was 4 from 4 in the first half, was playing great. He finished up 4 from 7, didn't play a lot of the second half. Daniel Johnson comes on, same spot, hits 2 threes from exactly the same spot.
At home.
Less than
home, obviously.
Yeah, you know, like
when I say home, obviously.
My wife and kids are there. Absolutely. And it's like, I think Mike made some errors of judgment in terms of who he needed to go with at key times. And when that momentum is building against you, as we saw again at John Cain Arena, when the momentum started, when Melbourne started to come, the crowd gets into it. And we're talking close to 10,000 people. Yeah, they're getting into it. They're roaring. And the referees are carried along on that too. You know, it's a wave that happens. And you could stay, were in such deep poo for such a long time. You know, there was no doubt in my mind Adelaide was going to run over the top of them. And just 2 minutes for Kieran Galloway again comes on, bang, bang, hits 2 threes.
Yep.
Gary Brown loses his mind, throws a punch at Toby Smith-Milner. Okay, give up an unsportsmanlike foul. Yep, silly. Just some silly stuff.
Momentum. Yep. You just don't want that. Mate, let's go. I mean, what a game. This was Cairns versus Tasmania.
Classic.
I mean, what was that? Just unbelievable. Obviously, we had to go to overtime to get the win as well. And don't you just love if there's a guy you want to win and just strut his stuff, you know, with his arms and he looks like what was those when you were growing up and they were, you know, warning Will Robinson, you know, like
that was the robot. Lost
the
in
robot.
Space.
That's his
nobody
arms.
Nobody listening is going to remember that, Brad.
Yes, they will. Of course, they will. And for everyone that's listening, can you just put on their yes, buddy? I knew what Brad was talking about. I want to see that on Twitter. But oh, look, fantastic game. They threw everything at them, but that last shot, wow.
Well, it's an overtime game, so you already had a classic finish to the regular regulation time, and then we've gone into the extension, and it's point for point. It's 87 apiece, and they just get the ball to Jack McVay. He's a long way out. It was a long way out. It wasn't an easy three, but he turned. He just had perfect balance. He let it fly. Nothing but net. It was a beautiful finish.
I've watched it about 4 or 5 times because I just love watching everyone else. Right. So you don't watch Jack, right? So I'll watch the Cairns bench. And one of the assistant coaches throws his arms in the air as he kicks it back, like, how could you let him be open? The shot hasn't gone off yet. So there's one, right? Yeah. Then you got the other players, and it's like, oh God. Then when it goes in, one of the players on the court smashes the ball against the ground. I don't know why. I just smile when I see those things because they just know, how could you let? It's like, you know, if I talk rugby league, it's like, I just can't stop thinking when North Queensland scored that try against, Brisbane in 2015 or whatever it was, when North Queensland won the grand final, and you wouldn't even know what I mean because you don't watch that sport. But it was just awesome. It was just awesome. But anyway, then we go now to are you finished with that game?
Can I just say to our listeners in Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia, Tasmania, and Northern Territory who don't give a flying frap doodle about rugby,
Tasmania, they'll have an NRL team soon, but can I say Melbourne Storm? Of course they give a crap. And all those people from Adelaide, just let Uncle Boddy know, we don't mind. Sport is sport. Congratulations to the Australian cricket team on winning the World Cup too, by the way.
Love the Matildas, my favourite sports team right now of any kind. All right, move on. What do we got?
Oh, well, sing Matilda. All right, the last game that we are going to talk about was one for the books as well. Melbourne beating the Sydney Kings after a very similar story where a team was very down, very much down. And congratulations to CG43, 6,000 points on his way to being the superstar of that game to finish with 35 points.
Just carried him.
27-19. 40, that's right, buddy. 40-21 in the fourth.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And Luke Travers, who didn't didn't look flash in the first half, he's come back from injury. He's phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal. Yeah, and you've got
JLA was great too. I thought.
And you got it right too.
You know who JLA. Has. Thank you. I've been practicing. bottomed. I've been practicing. But you know. JLA. That's where. You know who is struggling now that I noticed? Huck Porty. he didn't look real comfortable out there. I don't know if it's the injury or what's going on. He doesn't look great out there. I'm not having a go at him because I think he's been great, but you could just tell he was struggling with that injury. 100%. Yeah.
I tell you who else was good, Shaley. And Shaley did some really good things. And Flynn Cameron, that's where I was going next. Yeah. He would have made his dad proud.
Campbell Blogg. Now, there's one thing for young rookies. He comes on, hits the three, does a great layup, everything. But then he had that one shot where it's like one pass to the right, mate, and you got CG43 open. Yeah, you've got to give that one up. Yeah, you've got to give that one up. Listen, but he was great.
Is his name Blogg? Because there's another guy playing on the other team. His name is spelled very similarly. He's Hoag. So you think – is that not Blogg?
And we move on. So let's talk about the Sydney Kings. That's one that was blown.
And I
actually didn't – I think for the first time I can say it, I think Coach Mahmood got out-coached.
Out-coached. I think
Dean Dickerman did a fantastic job. Yeah, they didn't change what they needed to do. Jalen Adams was he had 0 points at halftime, finished with 9. I didn't think he had a fantastic game. I thought Jonah was good. Sean Bruce was in everything that he could possibly could. But I thought that was Denzel Valentine's best game.
Yes, no question. Good game at both ends of the floor. But, you know, look, let's move on. We don't want to linger on the Kings. They lost. It's 19 up. They lost.
Give me your best moment.
We don't want to talk about them.
Give me your best moment.
My best moment, definitely the Jack McVay moment.
Nice.
That three and his reaction to it, you know, with the arm up and walking around. And then the players mobbed him. And when they mobbed him, he went from that serious look that he had to just giggling. And that was just a lovely moment. And that just gets it slightly from Gary Clark's dunk that put Illawarra in front. At 65 all with New Zealand, he throws that down, 67, 65. Then he makes the free throws and wraps it up. Okay, you, best moment, give it to me.
CG43.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's a Sydney boy talking about Illawarra. I mean, sorry, about Melbourne, you know, Melbourne, God, who cares? But look, he was phenomenal. Some of those threes he hit, and more so in the first half as well. So they only went down 18 or 19, not 30. You know, they look pretty ordinary there for a little while, Melbourne, and he just kept powering away and came back from what was a twink in the ankle, which was a bit, you know, nerve-wracking for them.
Jordan Hunter, where was he?
Yeah, he was injured, so I'm not actually sure. I tried to get my spies out, and that was a big loss for them. Noticed the difference, yeah.
Yeah, Bolden played well.
Yeah, but, you know, they're only playing Joe in a small minutes. He played 19, which was his most. That's still 21 minutes that they had to play. And then you look at a guy like, you know, JLA that had, you know, 17 points, 8 rebounds. You know, they did have a bit of trouble on that. But anyway, it was a good win. Give me your Nodge Nasty, please, mate.
Look, I really like the fact that the referees have been pulled up, and we don't want 77 fouls in the game or 77 free throws or whatever it was. You know, we don't want you overcalling the game. So I like that, and I think generally it was all right. But that Cairns-Tasmania match, as much as I enjoyed every second of it, and I did, some of the stuff that was happening off the ball, the grabbing, the holding, it was ridiculous. And some of the fouls that were called, Milton Doyle's, I reckon three of his fouls were just absurd. And when you're allowing people to wrestle and fight and hold, you know, off the ball, but then you call.
Well, let me just say, 34 fouls is one of the lowest of the year.
Yeah,
that's all it was called. I know what you're saying because there was a lot missed, but like to give you an example, in the Brisbane Perth game, that was 41.
Yeah, but just look, but, Brad, you know, you played at this level, you know that if the refs make a couple of calls in the first quarter. They set a tone for, okay, we're not going to allow that. Okay, we're going to, if there's two guys clashes on a loose ball, we may not call a foul on that because it was incidental contact.
It's the old saying, if they got away with it, now you hear coaches yelling out, but, you know, we didn't get called that in. I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, my Rose and Rattler, I am going to go there. I'm going to say to the Illawarra Hawks, congratulations. To be able to have the week that they had, it would have been tough. New coach, the assistant's gone. So they've only got two assistants now. They had four. So the head coach and one assistant's gone. So now, you know, Tatum, from all accounts, the players are loving the way he's talking and what he's doing.
Yeah.
I still feel for Jacob because I think he's got a position in the NBL that he can do. But you gotta give credit where credit's due. The Illawarra Hawks came out and got a win in New Zealand, and it doesn't matter what position they're in, they still have to go and win it. So well done to them.
Yeah, fair point. All right, quickly, No, we don't have to do anything quickly.
But you didn't give me gave me your best moment. Who was your player of the round?
My player of the round for the men, I mean, I gave you Jade Melbourne for the women, but for the men, was Chris Goulding, because I thought he turned back the clock. He cracked that 6,000 point mark. He hit 35. He was outstanding. I love the fact, though, that on the graphic they put up on the television, they said that his 50 point game is the only one in the 40 minute era, which is totally incorrect. Factually inaccurate. 1979, 80, 81, 82, 83, the league played 40-minute games. Reggie Biddings, the late, great Sir Reginald, had a 63-point game. So don't be talking about 50 as being the most ever shot in a 40-minute game.
It is the terminology. I do hear what you're saying. I know they're saying since we've gone back to 40, I know that's what it means, but
that's
it doesn't
not
say
it
like that.
That's not what it said. That's
well,
not
let
what
me
the
tell you, my
said.
Player of the round, speaking of the guy who shoots three-pointers, is DJ. I thought he was great
Vasiljevic.
For Adelaide. Yeah,
DJ
he was
Vasiljevic.
Great. Yeah, he was great for Adelaide. The 29 points, some of those threes, you just like as a coach, what are you shooting that for? Good shot, DJ. Yeah. Well to go. But he's
got the
swagger.
Shot.
Don't do that. But he's got the swagger. He's talking. He's getting the crowd in. Adelaide favourite. You're going back to Brett Maher days with some of those shots. Unbelievable. Darryl Pearce.
Yeah, now you've got to say Dejan Vasiljevic. You can't say DJ because we've got DJ Hoag and we've got
DJ Johnson.
Daniel Johnson. You've got DJs all over the place. The music is blaring. It's time for us to go.
Vasiljevic. There you go. You like that? Good. Thank you, Bottend. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Check it out. We're going to try and get someone on the show next week because obviously we've got a nice little guest that we want to get because of the FIBA break. It doesn't stop Boddy and I. Boddy, the hardest working man in the NBL. He is BOTINAGY.com. Thanks very much. See you next week.
Ciao. So, outro.